Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Kolder. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. And that is so that we can understand the true God, the God who made heavens and earth and everything that there is. Have you ever gone out at night when there's, of course, too many of us live in cities where there's smog, so we can't see the stars and heavens at night? But nevertheless, if you have a digital media device, why don't you just look up the universe and look at all of the pictures of the stars and the heavens that men have been able to take? And think about this for a minute. The God of the Bible is the one who created it. This is why, when you look at the awesome works of God, everything that He has made, we need to fear God. And that's the start. That is to grow into love. And this is why you need to learn how to study the Bible so you can learn from God His way. And as we said, it's very, very simple. Obey my voice. So that's where you start. Start with the things that are easy to understand. Now let's come back here to Exodus 20 again, and let's look at the first four commandments. And of course, the fifth commandment is honor your father and mother, that your days on the earth may be long. Now this was quite an event. God personally came down on top of Mount Sinai as a blessing to all the people. And it was an awesome event because God is glorious and powerful. And His glory is so strong that the top of the mountain burned with fire, and there was smoke and wind and trumpet sounding to let people know, this is God. So that they would understand it's no mirage. So that they would understand that it's not the doing of a man, but of God Himself. God who loved Israel, who brought them out of Egypt. The God who created the heavens and the earth. And that is the one that became Jesus Christ. Verse 1, Exodus 20. And God spoke all these words, saying, remember, obey my voice. Now, so that it goes out to all generations everywhere, God inspired it to be printed. Now, we'll talk about that in another segment. He says this, verse 2, I am the Lord your God. That becomes important. No one else is God. No invention of the ideas of men is God. This is the Creator speaking, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. If you want to know the power that God had, you read the book of Exodus and see what He did, the first part of it. Now, Egypt then, as we will see later as you study the Bible, is a type of sin. Bondage is slavery, and in their case, it was literal slavery of the children of Israel to the Egyptians. But today, it is a slave of the figment of your own imagination and your own God. Is your life based upon obey my voice, as God says, or upon what you think, and you make the decision, and you choose what is right and wrong, and you do the things that you want to do? Now, some of them may be all right, some of the things that you do. But notice what he says here. You shall have no other gods before me. Now, there are many gods in the world. That's why, when you really come to understand the truth, 99.9% of all the religions in the world are not of God. That's a pretty strong statement, but it's true. And if you want to prove that, then continue to study the Bible. Now, we'll give you some other easy things to study, other easy things to begin, so that you will know, as you do obey the voice of God, you will see how that works. All right? You shall have no other gods before me. Now, we could give many sermons on this. It's another God claimed to be God. It can be something that a man makes. It can be an idea that he follows today. It can be sports, video, cars, music, idols of people. The next commandment is tied right to it, because men like to do this. They like to make images, gods, goddesses, statues, obelisks, crucifixes, beads, buildings. Verse 4. You shall not make for yourself any graven image. Now that's simple to understand. Or any likeness of anything that is in the heavens above or on the earth beneath or that is in the waters under the earth. Now isn't that all inclusive? Is that hard to understand? Yet you look at the major religions in the world and they all have idols. What does this tell you? If you're to obey the voice of God, it tells you very simply that they are not obeying the voice of God, and they have made for themselves idols. Therefore, the true God has nothing to do with them. Now, they may have some things which appear nice and do nice and things like this, but that's just strictly humanism that has nothing to do with the true God. Now notice what else he says here, verse 5, because this becomes important. You shall not bow yourself down to them. Question. What do they do when they go into a Catholic cathedral? They bow down to an idol of the Virgin Mary, and they have candles, and they have beads, and they have crosses and crucifixes.
Devotees who came to pray in front of the grotto of the Church of St. Thomas More have observed that the statue of Mother Mary has grown taller, sometimes tearing, and the head is moving in different directions. This phenomenon occurred since last Friday, and the Church is still in the process of observation and will comment on this matter soon. The devotees from all over Malaysia have been coming to pray for peace, health, and refuge. Some of them who are ill and on wheelchair came to pray to Mother Mary for recovery. After praying, most of the devotees felt peace of mind and felt the presence of Mother Mary. Father Raymond says the Vatican confirmation is needed before an official statement can be issued regarding the statue of Virgin Mary.
Likewise with the Buddhists, likewise with the Hindus, and even the Muslims. They pride themselves on not having idols, but you know what? Have you ever watched that big ceremony that they have in Mecca? And that big box that hundreds of thousands walk around counterclockwise? You know what's in that box? A meteorite stone. And Muslims, the ones that can get up close to it and touch it, they think they will be blessed. That, my friend, is gross idolatry. Yet they say, well, we don't like idols. And they bow down to it. And they're supposed to pray five times a day to Mecca. All right? What does this say? You shall not bow yourself down to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. Now, people would say, well, why would God be jealous? Oh, is God sinning? The answer is no. Stop and think. What if you made and designed a wonderful machine? You owned it. You got a patent on it. You designed it. You thought it up. Someone else comes along and says, I got a counterfeit for it. Wouldn't you be jealous of someone, angry at someone, for lying, for stealing something that was your idea, your machine, what you made? All right. Look at it from God's point of view. This is easy to understand. He created the heavens and the earth and all that there is. And he is the one you are to worship and bow down to. Not something made with your own hands. He's the one who's created all human beings. All the animals, all the plants. He's the one who gives you every breath of air that you breathe. Every drop of water you drink. Every morsel of food that you consume. And he's given that to all human beings, whether righteous or unrighteous. And then people would have the audacity to make idols, crosses, crucifixes, paintings, obelisks, and worship that. That's why he's jealous. Now here's what happens. Now let's understand something. Here's another very simple verse to understand. Sin. Sin is also called iniquity, transgression, lawlessness. Sin is the transgression of the law, 1 John 3:4. And the Greek expands it out even more. Sin is lawlessness, meaning everything that is contrary to the laws of God. Now stop and think about that. That's not hard to figure out the way you look at the things in the world and what people do. Okay? Visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of those who hate me. What does this tell us? If you break the commandments of God, make idols, and serve them, you hate the true God. Now just do another survey. Look at all the religions in the world. Look at all of the idols that they have. And that includes the Islam religion as well. They all have idols. How are their countries? Are they blessed or cursed? See, because it happens automatic. Just like if you commit murder, automatic. The curse comes. Just like when you commit adultery. The sin is automatic. It comes. God doesn't have to do a thing because he's already set in motion the consequences of the penalty of breaking those laws. Now, when it comes to indoctrinating people into false gods and hate God. Isn't that true? When you tell people, oh, that's an idol. Shouldn't have that. Ho, ho, ho. Do you realize all the work that went in it? Do you realize how much gold is in there? Do you realize all the workmanship that was required to do this? And we're doing this to honor God. Can you honor God contrary to what he has said? God says no. God says what? Obey my voice. Now notice what happens if you obey his voice. verse 6, but showing mercy to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. Now, isn't that what we read last time? Jesus said that if you love me, keep my commandments, namely mine. Yes. There it is. New Testament doctrine, right here. Now, if you love God and keep his commandments, you will be blessed. Do you want blessings? See, this is fundamental to the truth of understanding the Bible and how to study it. We're doing it right here, showing you how to study the Bible. Now then, the next commandment, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Now that one is easy to understand, but let's make it even more simple. If anyone says they are honoring God when they are doing things contrary to the commandments of God, they are taking God's name in vain, saying the Lord said when he didn't say. Now, this also applies to cursing and swearing and all of that sort of thing. Okay? Now, that's easy to understand. Is it not? Yes. Let's put it this way. If a religious figure ignores the commandments of God, which are truth, we will see in just a little bit, and rejects the true God and his commandments by having an idol, by having a day of worship, by having something that is contrary to what God says, and claims that God gave them permission to do it, they're liars. And they're taking the name of God in vain. Now, let's come clear over to the book of Jeremiah. Let's come to Jeremiah 7. Now, Jeremiah had a 40-year ministry as a prophet to warn the children of Judah, who lived mainly in Jerusalem at that time and in the area around it. And that's where the temple of God was. Now, God gave the instructions to King David on how to design and build the temple, and he gave those to his son Solomon, and he built the temple. And the whole study of the life of Solomon is also another very interesting study. Okay? Now, let's see what God says about transgressing or breaking or sinning against him by not obeying his voice, by rejecting the commandments of God, and by proclaiming that you're doing nothing wrong, and by proclaiming that God has sanctified it. Jeremiah 7. Now notice the very first verse. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, so this is what? The voice of God came to Jeremiah. And since people don't like to hear the voice of God, God has acquiesced to men to send a man who would speak his words. Jeremiah was that man, and he was loathed and hated. Now, if you want a very interesting read, read the book of Jeremiah. Now, that has some difficult places to understand, but most of it is easy to understand. And here in Jeremiah 7, this is very easy to understand. So God said to him, stand in the gate of the Lord's house. Go up to the temple, to the gate, where the people come in and go out. And proclaim there this word and say, hear the word of the Lord, all Judah who enter in through these gates to worship the Lord. Now, they were coming there to worship God. And they thought as long as they came to the temple, everything was wonderful, because that's a temple of God. And if we go there, and if we get sanctified by going there, then everything is lovely. We can just live any way we want to, and God will accept it because we brought our little offerings. Let's pick it up here in verse 3. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. These are the words of God. Amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. Because, just like we're seeing today, all the sin, all the murders, all the robberies, all the adulteries, all of the sins against God, the lying and cheating and corruption that is in government, all of these mammoth sins are going to lead to our downfall. And a lot of people even can see and know and understand that. And that is because they did not obey the voice of God. Verse 4. Do not trust in lying words, saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. Just because you stand in the temple area of God where he put his name, that doesn't guarantee anything, because God wants to know how you live, what you do, and what your mind and heart is. So he says, verse 5, if you will thoroughly amend your ways and your doings, if you will thoroughly execute judgment between man and neighbor, if you do not oppress the stranger, the fatherless, the widow, and do not shed innocent blood in this place, nor walk after other gods to your hurt, I will cause you to dwell in this place and the land that I gave to your fathers forever and ever. It's like us today. How did we start out? Well, you read the Constitution. You read the Bill of Rights. You read the Declaration of Independence. It started out with God.
Now, what's cool about this God factor is we're told by the courts today that, well, we got people among us who don't believe in God, and to make it fair for everybody, government will take no position for or against God. We're going to be neutral between religion and non-religion. Look at the title of the Declaration of Independence. The title says, this is the unanimous declaration of 13 United States of America. Every political entity in America said, hey, this is what we in the political world hold true. There is a God. He gives rights to men, and government exists to protect God-given rights. You can't be neutral in America on the God factor, because none of our documents are. And it's just real clear. So that's what we're telling the whole world. Every political entity in America, this is what we do. Now,
I've never even read that line.
Oh,
I've seen it a million times, and I've never read it.
And that's what makes it so nonsensical for the court to say, oh, we got to be neutral between religion and not. No. We're telling the whole world.
Unanimous declaration.
Unanimous declaration of every political entity in America, all 13 colonies, all 13 state governments, we're telling you there's a creator. That's significant stuff.
Wow.
This is not a weak declaration.
Let's continue. Verse 8, behold, you trust in lying words that cannot profit. How many lies are out there? This whole world is filled with lies and fantasies and deceits. Notice what he says. Verse 9, will you steal, murder, commit adultery, swear falsely, burn incense to Baal? Who's Baal? Baal is the sun god. Question, what day did people worship Baal on? Answer, Sunday. Huh. Keep that in mind so when we come back to the fourth commandment. All right. Verse 10, and then come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to do all of these abominations. We have grace. We can do these things. Yes, whatever we think is right is fine. God says, no, it's not. See, and what happens when people believe that sort of thing? They can't understand the Bible. They don't know what it means, because they don't start with the simplest thing of obey my voice. So he says, then come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name. Say, we're delivered to do all these abominations. Look at every one of those things that are listed there. Are those not sins? Are they not called abominations? Yes, indeed. And then he said, to make a point, you want to know what I'm going to do to you because you reject me? because you don't obey my voice? He says, I'm going to cast you out. I'm going to bring you down. Did God do it? Yes. 605 to 585 B.C., Judah and Jerusalem came down, 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 and were carried off into captivity. Stop and think. What's going to happen here? Now, how is your life? Let me talk to you about another booklet we have, Why is Christianity Failing in America? Because they're doing exactly what they were doing in Judah as recorded in Jeremiah 7. Now, what are you going to do? We have a book that will help you, guide you scripturally. Lord, what should I do? And that means, what should I do with my life? What should I do about changing? What should I do about amending? How do I get my life squared around? And that begins by understanding the Word of God, and that comes with knowing how to study the Word of God. Be sure and visit our website, cbcg.org, and also our Bible website, afaithfulversion.org. And you can get a lot of study material there for you so you can grow and change and overcome. So once again, this is Fred Coulter saying, so long, everybody, and thank you for inviting me into your home.